Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, it's good to have each of you here this Sunday morning. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Do you know, I don't know, I don't know everything about your personal life. Don't have to. Amen. I learned a long time ago, not everything is my business. Hallelujah. Of course, now I know some folks use that excuse when they want to do what they want to do. Well, you know, my business is my business. But I just want to let you know all your business is God's business. I mean, what I mean by that, he know about all of it. Hallelujah. But one thing I can say right now, you are in obedience to God in one area. So say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Right now, I'm looking out at all of you, and you are obeying God right now in one area. Now, I don't know about other areas of your life. But in one area, I know you are obeying God. You probably know where I'm going with this. But you're in church.
Amen.
You're in church. But Pastor, how can you say I'm obeying God? Well, the Word of God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And you didn't forsake it this morning. You're here. Now, you may have forsook it some other time, but this morning you're right on it. What a blessing. So it's good to see each and every one of you. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I got some things that I want to share with you from the Word of God. And I want to welcome those that are watching us up by way of the live stream. Our service this morning is a two-parter, and part of it will be live streamed, the other part will not. But nevertheless, we're glad you're here, and open your hearts, will you, to receive God's word. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Father, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is welcome in this church. He is welcome. Why don't you do that? Say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here today.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Say it again.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here today.
You are welcome here today. Hallelujah. And we give you your liberty and your freedom to move as you so choose. May we never stand in the way, or may we never hinder in any way. We want the perfect will of God done in our service today. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. I pray, Father, that everyone under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear, open ears to hear, and an open heart to receive your word, thus having their lives changed because of the word, bringing glory and honor to your name and blessings into the lives of the hearer. Thank you, Father, for your call and your anointing upon me to minister your word. And I'm resting in you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right, can you hear me? Everybody hear me okay? Praise God, praise God. All righty. I'll tell you where to go here in just a moment in your Bibles. A couple of weeks ago, I ministered to you concerning the power of our salvation, and I didn't finish that, and I really want to finish it before we move on to something else. Because here's what's important. Listen to me real good. Please, our salvation is to be appreciated. Amen. Our salvation is to be appreciated. The Lord Jesus Christ paid a very high price for us to be born again, to have our sins forgiven. He paid the ultimate price. He did. He paid the ultimate price. And he did it for you and for me. And we need to show our appreciation to him for all that he has done for us. Can I get another amen on that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn once again in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians, the second chapter. Now, some of this will be that you hear and will be review. I think I've covered some of it, but I have a place I want to start, and then we'll proceed on. But in Colossians, the second chapter, we learn, and I'll read it, but we learn that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. We have been delivered from the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? In Colossians chapter 2, I'll begin reading, I believe. I'll just pick it up at verse 13 here. We've been here before, but I want to read it again. And you, being dead, you see that? Amen. And you, and that means me too, all of us, verse 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made what? He's made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, I'm so glad I'm forgiven. Amen. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is what I love, verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Glory be to God. Now, verse 13 of Colossians chapter 2 in the Amplified Bible, put that on the screen for me. I want to read 13, 14, and 15 from the Amplified Bible. And you who were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions. Glory to God. Verse 14. Having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note bond with its legal decrees and demands which was enforced and stood against us, hostile to us. This note with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of our way by nailing it to his cross. I'm going to read verse 15 in just a moment. Had he not nailed it to the cross, had our sins and transgressions had not been taken to the cross, we would have to stand before an almighty God one day to give an account for all of our sins. And we would have been judged guilty. Because we have no advocate. Jesus. Let me say it this way. Jesus is our go-between. Jesus is the one that connects us to the Father. Amen. I don't think this is going to happen. But when you get, as they say, to the pearly gates, I don't think anybody's going to ask you anything because they already know me up there. You born again, they know you too. The Bible lets us know already we are citizens of two worlds. Amen. We're just strangers down here passing through. Got some work to do down here, and then we're leaving, and we're going to be with him. So they already know who I am in heaven. They already know who you are. In heaven, because why? Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Because you're born again, you're washed in the blood. But if someone was to ask you when you got to the pearly gates, why are you here? Are you really worthy to be here? All we would have to do is say, I'm here because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the blood that gives me the right to go to heaven, to live with God. Amen. And that's the reason the Bible makes it so plain to us that you must be born again. You can't do enough works to get to heaven. And that's a deception that the devil has out there, that you know, the harder you work, the more qualified you're going to be for heaven. No, you won't. Either you're born again or you're not. You hear me? We just need to make it plain. Either you're born again or you're not. Now, there's a place for works. Works are very important. But we can't work our way to heaven. You can't sing your way to heaven. You can't preach your way to heaven. You must be born again. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, verse 15. Amplified. Listen to this. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. Glory to God. Look at somebody and tell them, say, the devil's been defeated. Say, just in case you didn't know, the devil's been defeated. Hallelujah. Now, well, we have the Amplified up there. We'll go ahead and keep it amplified. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I want to read that to you, and then we'll move on. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins. I'm so glad he don't have to come back and do that again. Hallelujah. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Glory to God. And because he's alive, guess what? I'm alive. And you are alive. Are you still here? I like what Isaiah says. You can turn there real quick. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. And this is God talking about his son, Jesus Christ. Verse 6, Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you a covenant to the people as a light to the Gentiles. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison. Glory to God. Are you ready for this? Those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Glory to God. We've been set free, folks. We've been set free by the power of God. And only the power of God could set us free. We were in darkness. But hallelujah, we saw a great light. Brings to mind another verse I want to share with you, and then we'll move on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go to the Gospel of John, first chapter. Gospel of John, the first chapter, very first verse. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? Well, that is true, but I'm looking for another answer. Jesus, amen. Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And listen to this. Remember those who sit in darkness we just read? In him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. Hallelujah. And listen to this. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Glory to God. The darkness that we sat in was no comparison, no match for the light of Jesus Christ. What am I saying? The devil couldn't keep you. He wanted to, but he couldn't keep you. I am so glad. But and we were talking along these lines. But think about. I want you to think about something. You and I, we're different than any other animal that God made. Matter of fact, we're different. We're made in God's image, and we're made in his likeness. Amen? That's what the Word of God tells us. We're made in his image and in his likeness. And because we're made in his image and his likeness, we have been given authority to make decisions concerning ourselves. Are you listening to me? Every one of you that's sitting, listening to me, every one of you that's watching the live stream, you have a, listen to this, you have a God-given right to decide what you want to do with eternity. God made a way of escape through Jesus Christ, but if you determine to go to hell, he'll let you. If any person decides, I'm not serving the Lord, I don't want anything to do with him, you want to go to hell, God will let you go. He'll let you go. But on the other hand, if you decide, I want Jesus, if you're not born again and you decide, I want Jesus in my life, I accept this free gift of salvation that God has given me. If you make a decision, I want Jesus, I receive Jesus, there's not enough devils anywhere that can stop you. Because God gave all of us a powerful thing called free will. Amen. We choose our eternity. That's the reason. That's the reason we preach the gospel. That's the reason we preach the gospel, so that people can hear the word of God and they make a decision. Don't you know if the devil, how many of you saved and you know it? Raise your hand. Testify by raising your hand. Now, let me say this to those of you that got your hands up. Do you know that if the devil could have, he would have stopped you from getting saved? He don't want you born again. But you saved because there wasn't a thing he could do about it. You made up your mind, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. That's it. The human will is a powerful thing. And it determines our future. There's a song that I've been hearing for years. I have decided. See, that's an act of your will. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. It's a decision that we make to receive him. Because we're different than any other being on the earth. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Glory be to God. All right, let me finish. Which verse did I stop at? 5? Okay. Yeah, okay. And the light, let me read 5 again. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In other words, it didn't take over. When light appeared, darkness had to go. Hallelujah. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the what? Light. Amen. That all through him might what? Believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which does what? Gives light to every man coming into the world. Glory to God. Let me read a few more verses. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Now, I love this next verse. But as many as received him, in other words, as many who made a decision, I want him. I want Jesus, and I make a decision right now. I'm going to receive him into my life. But as many as received him, to them he gave what? The right. You see that? He gave, you have a right to be saved. If you make a decision for the Lord, you have a right to be saved. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who what? Believe in his name. Now let me read one more verse. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. But how were you born? We're born of God. We're born of God by an act of our will. Oh, what great salvation we have. Glory to God. We have eternal life by a simple act of our will. Devil understands that. Listen to me. That's the reason he tries to talk people out of getting saved. That's the reason he tries to find fault with Christians. I wouldn't go down to that church because there's sinners in that church. Well, I want sinners to come in this church and get saved. I want sinners to come in here and get set free. And listen to this. In any good church, when I say good church, I'm talking about a church that's doing the will of God, okay? In any, now I'm not talking about playing games. I'm talking about they're serious about the things of God. In any good church, you are going to find people of different levels of spirituality. Sometimes folk will walk in the church and they want everybody to be spiritually mature. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, praise God, we have a growing church. But a lot of time when they say, when you hear them say that, they're talking about numbers. And every pastor wants a growing church in numbers. You know, you want people to come. Amen? But you know what's most important? Is that the people who attend that church are growing spiritually. It's more than just numbers in the seat. You have to ask yourself, are they growing spiritually? Every time you come to this church, hear me good, every time you come to this church, I want you to leave on a higher level of spirituality than you had when you walked through those doors. Because spiritual growth is supposed to be a continuous thing. God doesn't want a static where we get to one level and then all of a sudden, you know, that's it. Spiritual growth moves upward. You stay with me on this. Spiritual growth will take you upward. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Spiritual, let's say it. Spiritual growth takes me upward. Now, but you got to keep moving. Because anything that's going up, if your momentum stops, guess what happens? You start slipping back. Slowly but surely, you start slipping back. Think about that. And it can happen before you realize it. All of a sudden, you know, you just kind of become static and I don't put forth any effort. You don't stay in the Word of God. You quit coming to church. You do all those things. And all of a sudden, you find yourself doing things that you used to wouldn't do, saying things you used to wouldn't say. Y'all still here? Because spiritual growth is a continual thing, and it needs to continue. Go higher and higher and higher. Because there are different levels. It's not so much how long you've been saved, it's how well you know God. I've seen people that's been saved a short period of time, but man, they shoot up because they love God. They're seeking God. Oh, glory to God. And then sometimes the ones that's been saved a long time, look at them. They think they sunk. No, rather than getting jealous, join them. Let's grow together. I call this church a growing church. Do you agree with me? Which means all of us are growing spiritually. Yes, we want it to grow more numerically, but what's more important is we grow spiritually. Because can I tell you something? Now, y'all know most of the time I don't finish what I have anyway. So, but I want to say this. This is very, very important. Now, I said earlier that the Word of God says that we are to not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and there's a reason for that. The reason that we must be a growing church spiritually is because if we are not a growing church spiritually, it's not likely that we're going to be a growing church numerically. Why? Because we're not in any position to help those that come in here. If the sinners walk through the door, if the hurting walk through the door, we need to be in a position that we can minister to them, that we can love them. Because we're growing in the things of God. How many of you make a decision right now? I'm going to grow. Continuously. Yeah, amen. Continuously. I'm not going to get to a place where I feel like I know it all. The Bible tells us faith comes by hearing. And hearing is continuous. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to continue to grow. I'm going to continue to hear God's word. I'm going to continue to mature so that God can put me in a position to help someone else. You ever met anybody? Don't raise your hand. You ain't got to. But that you knew they were hurting and you thought to yourself, oh, I wish I knew what to do to help them. Well, you know what? God wants to put all of us in a position to know what to do to help them. God wants to put words in our mouth that we can tell them. How many of you have heard of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Okay. What the rest of y'all have been listening to? I know when we think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we usually think about maybe the pastor have a word of knowledge or prophecy or something, you know, for someone, and that's all biblical. That's true too. But sometimes God will use you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you don't even realize He is. Sometimes I'll be ministering to someone or sharing with someone, and you say certain things, and you thought, I didn't even realize I knew that. And you'll be in the Spirit, and you'll be ministering to someone, and then later on you'll think back on it and try to remember, what all did I tell them? Because that was good. And sometimes you don't even remember everything you said. But that person was ministered to. I want to be in a position where God can use me. Because God knows what hurts us. He can see the bruises in our lives. But He'll use us to help someone else. We may not know anything about what's going on in their lives, but we're just prompted to say certain things to them that brings healing to them. Amen. I've had people tell me more than once, especially wives, I went home after service, pastor, and my husband fussed at me. Really? Why? Because he thought I told you all our business. And they didn't tell me their business. But God knew their business. And the Holy Spirit wanted to minister some things to them. Don't you want to be in a position where God can use you? That means then we must be willing to grow spiritually on a continual basis. And when we do that, when others come in the church, we can help them. I'm the pastor of this church, but I'm telling you right now, and Becky been teaching on that, but God didn't call me to do it all. God called me to take the leadership role, but he didn't call me to do it all. There's a saying, and it's very true, that shepherds don't have sheep, but sheep have sheep. In other words, sheep give birth to sheep. Now, don't get me wrong. I am a shepherd and a sheep. Amen. But when we come to church, we are to learn and to grow and be prepared that we can go and give birth to other sheep, spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking, when the saints in the church begin to grow, then they can bring in others, or God will send others, because he knows that when they come, that there will be someone there that can help them, that can speak their language. I'm tell you right now, I don't speak everybody's language. In a couple months, March, April, yeah, a little over 2 months, I'll be 74 years old. I can't speak the language of some of the teenagers and those in their early 20s. Now, they don't, you know, don't humor yourself. I'm not dumb. Not by a long shot. But here's what I'm saying. God can use you even to reach people in your circle. That's what he wants to do. But you got to make sure you're in a position that you can help them. Are you still with me? Amen. Glory be to God. Well, did this bless you today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Make a decision right now that you're going to grow spiritually and do what's necessary to grow. Do those things that are necessary. Have a prayer life. Stay in the Word of God. Come to church. Fellowship. It's not just about you. The Word of God tells us very plain, we are our brother's keeper. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And he'll lead you and he'll guide you. But Jesus also said, you will do greater works than I did, because he's with the Father. Jesus could only be one place at a time. But we're part of the church. We can cover the earth and preach the gospel and touch lives for him. Make a decision. I'm going to make a difference in somebody's life for the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for your word that will never ever return to you void. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I want to speak first to those that are watching the live stream. If you have not received Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, I just want to let you know he loves you so much. He wants to come into your life. He wants to forgive you of your sin. But it must be an act of your will. You must make the decision that I'm going to invite him into my life. He's waiting on the invitation from you. You say, Pastor, I want Jesus in my life. I want to spend eternity with him. If that's you, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, just say it out loud if you can. Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the only begotten Son of God. And I believe that you came to this earth, lived here on this earth. You were crucified. You died on the cross. You were buried, but you rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, I believe you, and now I receive you into my heart. I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. I give you my life. Forgive me, Lord, for my sin, and I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, coming into my heart and saving me. I am now a child of God because I have received